try to be brief. I know that everyone's in a rush. I guess I want to preface with a couple of thank yous. The first thing is thank you everybody for being good sports about it. I apologize. I know I was supposed to go a couple of weeks ago, and I got I wasn't able to be here. So you have a question already? Okay. So thank you everybody for bearing with. I know that it's we had a fakir before. If this is considered one game or two games, Nafkamina, if Mincha was a chalai seventh inning stretch, and if it is, that means we only have one or two innings left. But it's a double header. So Baruch Hashem, we were about a number of the factors in the hallway before. The inspiration for this chabura is obviously because we're going to Bava Kamma, and it's a nice topic. I would like to speak about Gram and Garmi. The inspiration comes from a couple of things that are very close to our hearts. First one is that there was a guy who asked me a few months ago. He had an interesting shaila. He's in an apartment with a bunch of guys, and they had a mouse. And the only mouse trap that they had available came in the form of a hockey stick. So the shaila was bidyevit already. So Baruch Hashem, that doesn't leave so many nafkaminas for other than like next time. Like, should I invest in a different kind of mouse trap right now? So Kiyidua, there's a Chuvas Ramaisha on this inning, where he talks about if you're allowed to kill rodents that are very distressing. And what he basically comes out that it's okay. But one of the things that he says is that Ken Zayin, that there's a difference between killing the rodent via Dayan and using a mousetrap of some sort, which means, like, even the halacha, it's very nice. I mean, we don't relate to it this way. The other thing that's also, that was the inspiration, I would guess, is also that, as everyone knows, I don't always sleep at night very well. And so it's interesting. There is, I have found, and I'm apologizing, it's an apology, really, that, like, you, as everyone knows, they've discovered recently that there is a correlation between how much you sleep at night and how coherent you are the next day, and whether people want to be around you. So I'm apologizing. It's been a rough, I'm not saying in the past, but Baruch Hashem, there's been many studies to be studied over the past few weeks, been a hit as Indian, and I'm apologizing in advance for that.
I don't know why you were so amenable to the seventh inning. For you, when it was opposed to the other, it's
So I will lean in. If I'm not clear, just please stop me. I generally tend to talk quickly, and I will try to talk quickly, especially under the circumstances today. But if I'm not speaking coherently, please just feel free to stop me. I don't mean it on purpose, by any means. Okay. The last thing that I will tell you is that sometimes at night I've got the inspiration from Victor, is that I try to learn if I can, but at a certain point, I'm not always able to. And so I try to be productive in other ways. So Rebbe once mentioned Lucy Davidovitz's excellent corpus on the Holocaust. So unfortunately or fortunately, a lot of these ideas have been in my head. So it's a fascinating question. If we could have actually convicted Hitler in a Bez Din. And it's exactly this question from beginning to end. The person inspires or forces other people to commit murder, does that make them a Red Tzach? And if the way that you commit the murder is by means of gas chambers, I mean, there were many other ways that they could have definitely been, you know, convicted. But the point is that would that have been an act of ritzicha and halacha? So these are questions. These are questions of grama. And then the final set I'll share at the end of the letter. Okay. So I'd like to begin this like this. The sugya of grama, often, the way that people develop it, I'm going to try to develop it in both, from both directions. There are a couple of isolated sugyas that everyone is familiar with, Gemara, and Yadzayin, Chavav, Tzadiches, Kuftezayin, Kufyodzayin, Dach Kuf, obviously, some of the Gemara's in Sanhedrin, the Gemara's in Bava Basra, and you need to start from the sugyas, and then build and hopefully work to fill out, to occupy the constellation of conceptual factors, where you build conceptually and try to fill in the sugyas where they lie. And I'll try to do both a little bit. The trickiest part, I guess, is that there are a number of entry points, but for Garmi, at least, what we know from the Gemaras themselves, the way that they describe Garmi, is that the only description, Kiyudua, is that it's not Yadai. That much we know from the Gemaras and Tzadiches, from the Gemaras Beferish and Afkuf, we know that the Gemaras over there discuss, try to figure out Man Dan Din Garmi, but discuss the start of the case of Mar Dino Lechenveni, that case. And the Gemara goes to try to figure out from a number of Mishnahs and Shas, from the Gemara, from the Mishnah Becharis, down as Adin, from the Mishnah in Adaf Kofam Abez, of Litzvolo Adam, Tzvar Shachar, and the Mishnah, or Braisa, Tesefta, of Mesach, final Agav Tzvoa, Social Chavero, and then finally we use Mechitza Zakam Shinefetan. Each time, for the first few attempts, the Gemara Kiyudua says, Hatsanami Ka'abat B'yadan, you're doing a Maisi B'yadan, which means that all we know that the best description we have from the words of Shas, at least the Hedya, is that grama garmi is not a ma'aseh b'yadayim. And the question is, what exactly is it? And that's where all the Rishonim try to come in and try to figure out, given all the number of cases that we have that we are considered grama or garmi b'nizakim or garmi, can we distill certain criteria that that would qualify something as grama or garmi or not? So we know there's the four cases in Bava Kama Daf Kof. We know the Gemara's the Rabbah's four cases and Daf Tzadiches, when he talks about, and just by way of introduction, I'm assuming everyone knows them, but the case of Zorak Matveh Shachavel Yam HaGadol, he knocks on his hand, and in his hand it's a coin, so it goes into the sea. The Pashas, way the Rashi learns the Sugya, is that the only way to access it now is by hiring somebody, to a diver of some sort. Same case, similarly, Hashaf Matveh Shachavel, that case also, Rabbah says, if you rub out the coin stamp, either by displacing the metal or by removing the metal. Those are two different things. By displacing the metal, keeps the metal intact, and the mela, you haven't been maxed or anything. By shaving off the metal, that would actually be a chas of some sort. That might be an actual hezek. The third case of Hatzorim Oten Paraso Shachavero, Yesh Lachkar, and then Hatzor Shkaro Shachavero, that's the fourth case that Rab introduces that we identify as cases of Garmi. In addition, we know that we have the Gemara's and Daf Mem Hei through the Nambav, the very beginning of Hakonis. We have Rabbi Yeshua's four cases that are Chavadin Yishamayim and Patrin Yishanam, which Rashi identifies as Grama Garmi cases. So part together with Nebuchadnezzar is Chavero. A couple cases, then obviously the Gemara goes on to discuss a number of cases. Why didn't they make the cut? The other five cases. So there are a bunch of cases over there. And then we have the Gemara and the case that we'll probably spend the most time, that I hope not to overlap too much with what's been said before, I know definitely spoke about the case, and that's Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We have Rava's Chakira, and what's the Adavar Pasha to Rava. So the case that Rava discusses is Zar Kli Merosh Agag, Bahar Peshkar Bamato, so the case where you throw off a Kli from a roof, then somebody comes along and breaks it. So we talk about that as Manatir Pavar. And then we have the other case, which is also the parallel Gemara at the end of the second parak, and that Chavavim Beis, and that case is Rabbi's other case, which is Zarek Lim Rosh Hagag, where you have to have karmic sassos. You throw off a cleat from the top of a roof, and there are karmic sassos below, there's pillows and blankets down below, and somebody pulls away the pillows and blankets, and the question is going to be, who's going to be chayiv? Should the Zarek be chayiv? Should the Masalik be chayiv? Those are the basic cases. So the question is, can we distill any particular components, any particular criteria that qualify these cases as grama garmi? So kiyadua, Tosfos in Bava Basra, there's a Rush, also in a few places, Tosfos in Bava Basra famously gives two major approaches to these circuits. And Tosfos there, basically, he gives you a very nice list of 10, 11 cases, including the Mishnah in Bava Basra, of the cases that Tosfos feels are the essential cases to grama garmi in Shas. And what Tosfos basically does, given the versions that we have for what the Reed says, the Rush's version, the Reed's the Tosfos's version, the Mordechai's version, is that one getter is definitely Osahu Atmo Hezek Lamam Chavero, and one getter is Mishas Maisa Shabbat Hezek, that you're going to chive where it happens immediately. And the three factors that emerge, certainly the Rush says it explicitly in Bava Kama, is that there are three basic factors that we have to consider whenever we're talking about this Garmi, the criteria for Garmi. And that's going to be basically immediacy, inevitability, and your level of interaction with the Chatz itself. If you have directly, and the Rush the people are medayik, at least from the Russian Sanhedrin, that you need all three criteria. It's a question if you need all three or some of them, but the, at least when it comes to those three factors, the Rush delineates them very clearly. That's what it boils down to. It can be a question of whether what act you did had an immediate outcome, whether the act that you did was atku atzmo, that you were actively involved, actively engaging the Devar HaNizok. So it's going to be a question of immediacy, and then you in interaction, and the inevitability of the action. Agav, there's a very nice tshuva, or a very nice shtickle that the Tshuva Sedeshin has in his book of questions and answers, that he discusses. I don't know how he came up with a case, but the case that he discusses is what happens if you have a son-in-law who's annoyed at the shver, and the shver has a whole storehouse of goods stored away somewhere, and there's a secret entrance to that storehouse. So there is a Jewish mafia man in town that everyone knows about, and so the son-in-law goes ahead and he shows the mafia man where the entrance to this secret passageway is. So the Tshuva Sedeshin wants to know, would that be Garmi or not? And what the Tshuva Sedeshin, he considers the second major approach from the Balakaisis as well, which is the Ritzvah, the Riva also, which is that all Dinim Garmi, by the time you're finished with these 10, 11 cases, so the real clincher that Taisus throws in is the case of Tiras HaTamei. The case of Tiras HaTamei and Daf Kuf, which, according to this year's site, if these three factors are essential factors for something qualifying as a case of Garmi, which is that it's inevitable, it's immediate, and that you are actively involved in doing the Maisa of some sort, so then the question is, what about the case of Tiras HaTamei, where a dying paskins on a case, and the Balabas goes home, at least in the Havim of Gemara, at least when we're considering the mayor's shita, that Balabas goes home and he's the one who's matayer, he's the one who mixes things up. So how exactly is it that the dayan is the person who is actively involved? So Elamai plays a scraps the whole yisayd, and or not necessarily scraps the whole yisayd. That itself is a question in the Rishonim, in the Achronim. But that point leads to the Ritzvah, which basically says that Garmi functions as a knas. Garmi function as a knas that Chazal imposed when the case is ragel and matzah. The Lashon, at least I should read it. The Lashon of the Ritzvah, the Nero Ritzvah, the Din of the Garmi, having Tam Knas, Kinmukhach Birshami, Ulakach, Kol Hezek HaMatzah V'Rag, Ulavo, Kansuch HaKham. How do Chazal figure out which cases are the cases that are going to be subject to the rules of Garmi that you can account for? That's if it's Matzah V'Rag. Well, if you relate to it as something that results, that frequently results in a certain outcome, Chazal remembers about those cases. Perhaps Ka'in, and Tarsus obviously links this to the discussion of Hezek Shin and Nicker, where we say that your level of interaction is very direct, but the result, the Hezek itself is not very Nicker, it's not apparent in the Bria, and so that itself is, we say Hezek Shin and Nicker, Lashon Hezek, it's not Lashon Hezek, but that getter also, that Chazal were kindness in certain scenarios. Fine. So the Tshuva Sedeshin considers these possibilities, and he says, very, very interesting aside, the way that it qualifies Bar Yezeka, what exactly constitutes Bar Yezeka. One of the things that Tshuva Sedeshin says is that when you hire a Jew, when you involve a Jewish mafia man, he says this is not similar to the case of Achdi Achvuyeh, the case in the 10th parak of Bava Kamma, where you show the mafia or the government lands, you know, at least the way the Rashi understands it, you overhear it, you know that the government is interested in seizing properties, and you show them some nice estates. And in that case, we do consider that to be a case of Garmi, so much so that the Ramban and the Balei Taisus on the spot think that should have been the paradigm case, could have been the paradigm case to show that Rameir holds up the concept of Dan Din of the Garmi. So why don't the Gemara and Daf Kuf bring it up? And they give different perutzim, but the point is that it's definitely a good paradigm for Garmi. And so the Tshuva Sedeshin says that Bar Yezeka is a Zayid Bayit, that when you ask a Jewish mafia man to do something, Kenzayin that he wants to be Chazer B'tshuva the whole time. It's not a Vaday that he's actually going to carry this out. He's not actually going to take anything. But when it's a Goyish mafia man, so there it's Bar Yezeka Mamish. But in other words, what's clear from the transgression is that Bar Yezeka is a very, very, very high threshold for what constitutes Bar Yezeka. Fine. So before we go into the Chakira about why exactly you hold Dan Din Dagami or Lo Dan Din Dagami, There is an important nukud I do think that is relevant. There is a lot of discussion within this sugya of Grama Garmi, Yishu Mishum Chitza, whether this is something that's local to Nesikin, or whether this is something that applies to other places in Shas. And I want to be mechalik, what I think is an important insight. Ki Yidua the Gemara and Daf Samech in Bava Kamma, there has a discussion about Libel Libsar Ruach. The Gemara says, why is that any different than Zorah Baruch Messiah? So, and there are a number of Amarim, Abai Rava, that think that should be similar to Hilchos Shabbos. And ultimately Rashi comes along and he says, no, Hilchos Shabbos is different than Hilchos Nezikin. Hilchos Shabbos is Malachas Machshavas Asur Torah, and Nezikin is Gramo Nizakin's Pot. And the question is, what exactly is that chiluk that Rashi is making between Hilchos Shabbos and between Hilchos Nezikin? And one of the Yesidus that emerges, different Rishonim have different takes on this, the Rush, the Mashal, I think what's clear in Taisvis also over there, is that when we talk about the necessary ma'isa in Hilchos Shabbos, the ma'isa that's necessary in Rabbi Chaya is Malachas Machshavas Dekha Ma'isa. And therefore, the Torah considers that to be a ma'isa in Hilchos Shabbos. Even though it's very much lacking in the pe'ula that you do, it's still considered to be ma'isa in Hilchos Shabbos. And I'll explain this in a second. Bashenkin and Nizakin, the type of ma'isa that we require is very, very different. And let me explain. What I'm gonna say, at least at the beginning, I think, it sounds a shtickle like a chassidish shtickle tar. It's not a chassidish shtickle tar. I don't know how else to flesh this out conceptually. If it is a chassidish shtickle tar, maybe some people will be happy, maybe some people will be furious, but I don't mean it's like a chassidish shtickle tar. Anytime that you have a ma'isa in Shabbos that we are considering, there's three major components to that ma'isa. There's the kavana, there's the pu'ula, there's the tutsah. There's the intent that governs, that accompanies that ma'isa. There's the pu'ula, the mechanism that you use in order to carry out a certain tutsah. And then there's the tutsah, the actual outcomes, whether you intended for those outcomes or not, whether the pu'ula that you did was necessarily related to that outcome. But there's three major components to every ma'isa in Shas. Whenever we talk about kavana, the kavana could be either for a specific pu'ula, or that kavana could be for a specific tutsah, or the kavana could be extracurricular. It could be a lishma. Lishma is not fundamental to the way that you perform the ma'isa, to the pu'ula that you engage in order to accomplish a certain ma'isa. It's not necessarily fundamental to achieving a certain outcome, it's extracurricular. It's something that we pose on it to give it the ma'isa a certain orientation. So, where are we going with this? So same thing for the pu'ula. The pu'ula that I engage, the mechanism that I engage in order to achieve a certain tutsah, that varies in shats. For what kind of pu'ula is acceptable to accomplish whatever you're trying to accomplish in shats. So l'masha. When it comes to the mitzvah of Tashbisu, there's a nice kuntras. I meant to thank Rabbi Packer for pointing me to Rabbi Halperin's incredible work on Gram Ma'aseh Halacha. So, and he goes through the whole sugya, the lamdas, Shmaya Tzaliv, the Hilchasa, going through every aspect of the sugya. And Baruch Hashem, I didn't think Mitzvila about 5-6 years ago, the way that I understood the sugya was al derech this ma'alach, but he definitely works within this approach. That the way that he sets up Rama and Ma'isa in Halakha is that Lamashal, and he quotes, there's a nice kuntras with Rabbi Lazer Gordon from the state, that's quoted in the State Chemed, that discusses whether Rama applies in other areas in Shas. So one of the interesting rayas that's brought is from the mitzvah of Tashbisu. So we know that the famous Machlokes Tanaim, how do you accomplish the mitzvah of Tashbisu? So there is a taisus in Beitza that discusses whether you can use a dog in order to accomplish the mitzvah of Tashbisu. If you have chametz shabbalah Pesach, or you've come to Am Pesach, excuse me, and I want to get rid of the chametz. So the question is, can the dog eat that chametz in order to accomplish it? So the Tashbisu and Taisus takes that tzad very, very seriously. Ka'ein that, there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Pesach. The Magen Avraham quotes a shalah that says, what happens if you have chametz on Pesach? Is it shaykh to use a guy to get rid of the chametz? So the shalah says, yeah, he cheshbens out that when it comes to Amir the Nachbi, there is dispensation over here in the Mela, you could ask the guy to remove the chametz from your rishas. So the Magen Avraham pipes up and he says, but wait a second, that's not going to accomplish the mitzvah of Tashbisu until the guy actually destroys the chametz. So Rabbi Yeager, and Agaz, jumps on that and he says, but wait a second, even if the guy himself does the extermination of that chametz, that's not going to help you, because in Shlichut Tanakri, and Mela is not accomplishing Tashbisu. So what's going on here? But at least Kim Dumani, be aside, what they're discussing is, what is the Torah's way, what is the way that the Torah endorses as a ma'isa that's considered to constitute a ma'isa Tashbisu? And that's the question. In other words, is this a totsal-oriented kind of a mitzvah, or is this a pula-oriented kind of a mitzvah? And if in both cases you have kavana for a certain totsal, your kavana was to have a certain outcome, to have the chametz exterminated. And by the way, it's a fascinating thing when you consider it this way, because we use Aish, most people use Aish, which itself is actually a pretty indirect way of exterminating chametz. Probably the best way, like when Rabbi Yehuda discusses, you're supposed to crumble it up, throw it into the wind, that's much, much more direct. or if you used hydrofluoric acid, that would probably be the best way, that you took it and you just dumped it on top of the chametz. That'd probably be, even though it's a shtickl kind of kofo, but that would be much more direct than using fire. But the point is that there's certain ways to accomplish the mitzvah of tashbisu, and that's a question. Which one is the dominant component of those three components within a ma'asa? Kain, that is, we'll discuss by Hashem when it comes to shechita, is the same idea. That if I tell you that there is a big discussion about naflasakin, the Mishnah tells us it's naflasakin, and the shachta, shechitasos psula. So the question is, why is it possible to shechita? And there is a machlokes rishonim, what level of koach is involved in that act? One of the discussions is one of the shitas from Rush, is that if you do this amaisa hapila, the diak that we make is that if it's nafla, that's psula, but a hapila is fine. And if you do it, Tysus, we'll get to it. Tysus in Sanhedrin has a kashgit and very much illustrates their mahalach in Zikin when it comes to the role of koko. But for the Rush, when it comes to that question of shkita, so the Rush discusses when we say hapila, what kind of amaisa hapila are you doing? Does that mean you are deliberately throwing it down to do what? To throw it down? To do ma'as chaticha? To do ma'as shkita? What are you doing exactly? And one of the things that's considered is that you're not even doing a according to the Rashi, at least, you're not even doing a ma'asa shkita. You're doing a ma'asa tipila, which means that you're not even intending to do a ma'asa chaticha. You're just intending to take the knife and go like this, which is ke'en the sukya of Masasik and Shabbos Ayin Gimel, where the Gemara discusses what happens if you have watermelons or gourds in the patch, and you pick one of them up, and you think that it's disconnected from the ground, so you pick it up. You're doing what you relate to as a ma'as ha'agba. The pu'ula that you're doing is a ma'as ha'agba. You're lifting it from here to here. Now happens to be that it's connected to the ground, and mela you do a ma'as of severing also. But the point is that the pu'ula and the tosa you are intending to do, and the kind of the pu'ula that you're trying to do is the same. You're doing the ma'isa ha'agba might look identical to the ma'isa of plisha, but the tosa that you're intending for is totally different. And that's a question, is that considered to be a ma'isa such that you're having no chashavas? Kain net, when it comes to shechita, that is a question, is that which is the dominant component within any of these ma'isa m'shavas? Is it going to be the kavana part? Is it going to be the pu'ula part? Is it going to be the tosa part? When we talk about kavana for what? Kainan is also Malachshin and Shriva Gufa. You want a certain tutsah. You don't really care about the pu'ula. You're just using a certain pu'ula because that happens to be a very convenient way of achieving a tutsah. For example, the classic case, and the comments of Malachshin and Shriva Gufa. But if you take this Mahalak and Malachshin and Shriva Gufa, if you have a house on fire and you put out the fire using water, you don't mean to make coals. You don't care about making coals. It happens to be you'll make coals. What you care about is eliminating fire. And if you could, you would wave a wand and that would eliminate the fire. So the pu'ula that you engage on a chanami is a ma'isa of taking water and putting it on here. And the totsa that you're trying to accomplish is not even to create coals. The question is, which is the dominant component, and which would we say is an inherent to your act, that in halacha this registers as the ma'isa that you did. So that's a question of tashbisu, that's a question of the pasuk of izabakta. And so ke'en that, is this aside, when it comes to nezikin. And the question is going to be, when it comes to nezikin, assuming you need a certain kind of ma'isa, for Nezikin, what kind of ma'isa exactly is it that you need in order to be chayav tashlum and hilchos Nezikin? So when we say in the Gemara that there's a difference between hilchos Shabbos and hilchos Nezikin, that there's two aspects to that point. Anytime that we're talking, one question is, what is your act? What is your physical act that you did? L'ma'isa, you do a ma'isa hagbah. That is a pula's hagbah. So when we say that in hilchos Shabbos, grama is sufficient in Shabbos. What does it mean that grama is sufficient in Shabbos? So there was a tesis that we had also in the sugya of Tashra Shemitah. When a person is massive, the Tashra Shemitah, so the Gemara there at the end of the day discusses how when a woman, even though she's passive, she violates the pasuk of kol nefesh ha'osas ha'toi v'seilu, or kain net, those words. So the Bali tends to say, I don't get it, if she's passive, why is it osas? And it's what Taisa says is that, no, that's not for that area of halacha, that is Isis. When she's passive, and when there's hana, the dominant component of that ma'isa is not the pu'ula that she's doing, it's not the movement of her body, it's that the dominant component is going to be the kavan, it's going to be the hana, it's going to be the passivity for that area of halacha. It's what's integral for that kind of ma'isa. So, same thing, one of the questions that a lot of people attack the Numak Yosef for is, famously, the Mokiyas discusses how you can light Ner Shabbos before Shabbos. Isn't that an issue of Ishanishim Kitsa? So, So what, where's this question coming from? Because he's saying, I know that in Hilchos Nezikin, Isha Meshim Chito means it's ki'ilu it's your koach. It's ki'ilu that you're driving the action the entire time. So how do we approach that? Does that mean that Isha Meshim Chito means that every second in halacha, this is what this mice is? It's not. You're not driving anything physically. You light the fire and it goes and it's going away. And in Hilchos Nezikin, given your pu'ula that we require, so we say that there's a massive chiddush in Hilchos Nezikin that you're high for that case. That's either that's considered enough of a maisa, that is the maisa that's necessary for Hilchos Nezikin. So the kasha is, how could the Mukhi Yosef say such a thing for Hilchos Shabbos that, and he does feel very, very strongly, bends over backwards to come with a shtickle of her, that no, your whole maisa is over in Hilchos Shabbos and everything afterwards that follows is not your maisa. But lemaisa, that is the question. In other words, a mechanism for how to view a specific area of halacha is unique to that area of halacha, but pashtus.
But there are many Rishonim that say Isha Meshim Chito applies to other areas of halacha as well.
Sure.
So that's not the only problem with Mukhi Yosef, that he's applying Isha Meshim Chito to other areas of halacha.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's the only.
I mean, that part of the Mukhi Yosef is, I think, not a chiddush.
I'm using that as a parallel. Okay. But you're right. Okay. Tysus and Sanhedrin pushing around. Yeah, okay. I'm asking. We're getting there. Okay. But just give me a second. I'm asking. The point there is that mechanism fair game to apply in other areas of halakha. And if I say that it does, then I have to show, presumably, a very good riot that mechanism, which should be unique, just like in Hilchos Shabbos, a gramadika act is fair game as a halakha in Hilchos Shabbos. That doesn't mean that should be a fair game in Hilchos Nezikin. That's kind of the chiddush of Ravashi. Okay. Fine. So the upshot then is that if the way that we're going to relate to any Maisa in Hilchos Nezikin is that it's comprised of these three components, and we have to identify exactly what kind of pu'ula it takes in order to be chayiv. So when we talk about the sukkah of Garmi, the interesting part of Garmi is that on the one hand, there is a shita that says don din der Garmi, on the other hand, there's a shita that says lo don din der Garmi, which means that there's somebody who thinks that this is enough for you to be chayiv al tmatzik. And there's somebody who says, in other words, that this act, the way that you acted on the environment, that you operated on the environment, is enough of an act that we can consider that to be a ma'aseh nezikin and halacha. And that means in Tacheni that there's somebody who says that, no, there isn't enough of an act here. It doesn't subscribe to the rules enough for the kinds of things that it takes to be a ma'aseh. And the question is going to be, so how much do you need in order to qualify as an act without qualifying as an act? Because if it is an act, then it's ma'aseh yidayim. And if it's not an act, then why are you chayiv? And that's the gradations that at least the Rush tries to set up. In other words, when the Rush delineates these three categories in halacha about how grama works, one of the things he says is that when he says garim la'abid mamon shel mamon chavero, so the Rush. One second. So this is the Rush in where is it? In Simin Daled, right? So the Rush says. There are three different kinds of ma'amid mamon b'chavera. The first one is going to be davar garm l'mamon shenekel kol v'shem rabbanon, which we're not going to get into, and then the second is garm b'nizakin, and the third is garmi. And when we try to illustrate that garmi is these three, has these three criteria, that means that when there's bar yezeka, in other words, when there's immediacy, when there is inevitability, and when there's direct interaction, that's enough for you to be chayv in halacha. Even though, and for some reason, that still at the same time is not considered to be your ma'isa. And in that is when the Gemara discusses and daf chuf, those four cases, those four or five cases of the four cases that are attempted cases of garmi. So there's an obvious issue there, because one of the cases the Gemara asks is it discusses is let's follow Adam, let's follow Shachar. So the Gemara says hasam kavod b'yidah. Same thing for the case of Masachik Kapano al gabi tefos or shachavero. And why says it's a kiddush mechayev? So hatsanami covered yidan. So Tosfos asks, "Avis kasha, what was the havina? You're in both of those cases when he is actively distorting the wool that you give him, he's actively distorting the wool that you gave him. Same thing for the case of Masach Kabano, he's actively doing something. So what's the havina? So one of the factors that Tosfos brings out over there is the set of time of how we need it. And Tosfos says, "Tema karla my karla." So Tosfos says, "V'yesh lo mishum de'ena tamer mishdana miyad." Because even though he's actively, physically involved, in the Dabra, in interacting with the Dabra Nitzuk, but still the outcome is not immediate enough for that to register as a Maisa per Maisa in Halakha. So then the question is, okay, so what about Masach Gefano then? And so Tessa says, when it comes to Masach Gefano, you're not as actively involved. In other words, what the Gemara, the way that Tessa understands the Sugya, what the Gemara is trying to unpeel is just how much interaction do you need, and just how much of an immediacy do you need in order for this to constitute a Maisa Garmi or a Maisa Yadayim in Halacha.
You don't want
Garmi,
but
it's just
the
Garmi
is
in Yerma. I mean, you're saying they're assuming, and they're meaning that now have for the. I mean, I think both those. You're saying he's assuming the Ritzba, is that what you're saying? I would have imagined that he, anytime that he wants to mention the Ritzba and the Ritha, he does, but. Even if you say that, even if you want to say Rabbal Matzo, I would still want to say there are certain factors of how you relate to the Mitzvahs that we need in order to institute that Knas. So we still have to distill those, even if they're not fully those criteria, Bar Yezeka, and Bashas, and Ba'atzmo, but it's still going to have to be enough of Matzah Baraga, which is going to be contingent on those factors.
The Maisa itself, you may not need the Maisa at all.
I hear.
Are
there people who say that's Pashk and Tezvahs? That's what that's
saying? No, it's hard to know whether.
I mean, like, is that Pasha though?
That's
mean that Tesh is assuming the Ritzvah? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do. Again, I don't
want to.
No.
I mean, what, because of the time?
What?
Because of the time?
No. Just
if Rebbe's Pasha means that it's Magala that's 7th inning and not a doubleheader.
That's your problem. You're the one who says that. But. I have a general comment, and I'm not sure where you're going with it, also not sure what that's wrong, and I don't want to describe it.
Okay.
I mean, for the question, you're throwing out three components. You know, there's an A and a B in one of the components, or a fourth component. And that's, you know, it's relevant to almost all the cases that you mentioned, including the Shabbos and Sassus cases, namely, what I call, doesn't matter what you call it, I call it the difference between a gula and a mice. And when you pick up something from the ground, you know, whether it's talish or mahubar, you're discounting from my support of the because you're assuming that has all come on already. Right? Similarly, when you're talking about Russian circumstances, similarly, when you're talking about Asian pizza, similarly, when you're talking about Barney's egg, is it No, I'm saying you're attributing the difference between those actions in all cases. To your intent, and you're assuming that from a Maisa perspective, they're identical. But there are but for this very reason that you are alluding to or sketching, which is that different areas of halacha have different required levels of Maisa, and even within the same area of halacha, sometimes you could be involved in doing something, but doing a pe'ula, and you are interacting or engaging, you know, the physical. Again, positive kumbha same way, etc. Not just being the process in motion, but legally you still may not be doing what I call that might be the pa'ula, but that not necessarily the advice. In other words, if you pick up the you know, thinking it's polish and you pick up the chubar, there's plenty of evidence in the Rishonim that that isn't only a difference on a level of the kavan, that's a difference on the level of mice. Legally, the Maisa isn't picking up. The Maisa may. The Pa'ula is picking up. The Pa'ula is picking up.
Right.
And legally, because Al Pidin, there's a difference, and also physically, there are differences between detaching something and just picking it up, right? So that there's a difference on the level of the Maisa, too, even separate from the Kaman. And that's
what's
implicit.
Those two? Well, what is the distinction?
It's a different legal action. In one case, is you're detaching something from its, you know, from, and you're detaching something from its nourishment and so on. In the other case, you're just bringing something, you know, from a distance kiruv point of view, and in terms of the external physical ki'ula, they look identical. Let's assume even that from an exertion point of view, there's no difference because the connection to the ground is so minuscule So you could say that's the same for Ulal, as it is the Tutsa'ah or the Kavan. But from a legal point of view, from a formal halachic point of view, you could make the point that this part of the Sugya, the Sase, is that you're doing two, what are you doing to refer? In one case, you're doing an act of Klisha or Khatika. In the other case, you're doing an act of Khatra.
But what defines this orientation?
They are legally, subtly different actions, separate from the Kavan.
I mean, the objective rule itself is objectively different.
Right. That's I'm using the phrase. It doesn't matter.
You're saying the so we can
this
find
is not Torah Vesina. I'm using the expression
okay.
Pa'ula and
okay.
Medicine. Now, the same is true. I guess I just want to make such a big fuss about it. I'm already overstating the thing. Because that's what you want to do with
the
this.
Double header.
But in the what I'm saying is in the question, whether
yeah.
it's Eishon Shem Pizza,
yeah.
right? Or how you understand Ravashi, which is very diverse. There are different views. I don't think the Ravashi is the same. The factor things like Lutz Moshe Das Asra Torah, what you need in Shabbos, what you need in Motzei Akor, what you need in Shita, what you need in Netilas Yadayim, what you need in different Balachos of Shabbos.
Right.
In all those cases, in addition to the question of creating a result or fulfilling your intention, right, and in addition to the Kula question. In many cases, there's also a subtler question that is,
just legally has this
right. Is this a same Maisa? And it could be that, for example, the Latzal Shav Sasra Torah figures into connecting, you know, a Pu'un is enough, or you have a more flexible Hamdara of what a Maisa is, or it might be of a range.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's different than Kavan. Again, I don't know whether it's going to, but even in terms of Bar Yazeka, talking about or immediacy, etc. There might be a difference between the Pu'ula and the Maisa. Even Garmi versus Gramak. Let's say you want to have three categories, Mazik Yadayim, Garmi, Gramak. You still might say that Mazik Yadayim means you need the Pu'ula and the Maisa. You know, Gramak means you're creating a result. And, you know, Garmi, maybe the happy meeting of Gramak, which Daraisa Gramak, we're assuming Daraisa, which is that you're doing the Pu'ula, you're doing the Pu'ula, it is the Pu'ula, say. You're engaging, and you're connected, and you're proactive, you know. But in terms of the Maisa, you know, that might still be lacking.
Okay.
Either because that requires Kavana, because again, sometimes Kavana and Sasek, all these things, still Lashon Shir from Gufa, maybe that's the difference between all these different games.
I hear.
It's
an additional fact.
Sometimes the Kavana part isn't the Kavana either. It's what dictates. Whether all you're doing is a pu'ula, or you're doing the pu'ula, whether you're doing the pa'ula and the maisa, or you're the pu'ula and the chumra. Lots of success.
Not
for me to
be
lewd, so
you had someone sleeping and doing things that are sleeping.
Yeah, and also kabbalah and bedrabim, and many, many nafkamina.
Right.
But
are you saying that there would still be something that's a legal objective standard for that act, how it registers in Allah? Okay.
Just in addition to the three, that's a critical four, which also ends up overlapping somewhat. Because then some bison in halakha are defined by the tzios of themselves, and so a certain type, or bison that come up.
Okay.
It's going to affect a lot of all these different categories in one way or another, or some of them maybe, or.
Okay.
It's your structure.
We're trying. Okay, so Mamela with the sleep socks is that the first question, and again, Rama, is going to be that once we have the three major components or four major components in every Maisa or Pu'ula, so we have to identify which is the dominant component in Hilchos Nezikin relative to other areas in Halacha. And if we are going to compare Nezikin with other areas of Halacha, we have to figure out what the overlap is between those specific areas in Halacha that allows us to go back and forth comparing them as comparable Maisa. Yeah.
Let me say, it seems that you're saying from these three factors, with the Rosh and the insurance, from the factors they gave us to tell us what's not Gramma, what became Gramma to Garmi, you then use that to define what a Mice is. So for those who are going to say,
the Mice that's necessary
in this area,
meaning or
in the Garmi, they are.
But meaning, not that I want to work backwards and say Memela, obviously. If I only define what Garmi is, I can't figure out what is the quintessential Maisa Mazik. But the point is that this construct is going to be enough to qualify as a Maisa Isaac.
No, maybe it's not. Maybe it's only part of what. Maybe he need more things to get to be enlightened.
So okay, so I'm working on it. That's
25 other factors to be enlightened. So how do you know between what garden is to get to be?
So it's enough. So in economy, the point is that it's going to be enough of a mechayev, whatever the mechayev is for maasev, which we have to figure out. It's going to be enough of an overlap between whatever is the paradigm maasa, in order for this for us to be mechayev. You push one minute. Why would you say
that? The Ramban who holds garments, their rice says, onus, but I'm a mazi, it's time.
Yeah.
It's garments, but onus is time.
Right.
Onus is the garment, it's called.
Right.
There's two different five. You don't even learn it from Pensa Bala Pensa. You're like, you need garment. It's his.
You're saying even, sorry, so you're saying that even if it doesn't.
On the rice level, it is, it has a, my fries to myself is almost like lung. It's bigger than a mice to be enough. It's a killer sample. There's a, you could have said this, even every garment in the most strong sense is not really my.
Sorry, so what do you think the Machayev is? What are you suggesting?
It's not, I wouldn't have called it from the Pasek of Pentanat Pesa. I would call it from, I don't know exactly which Pasek.
I mean, if I tell you that you're, that there's a.
It's Chayev on Shmir and Afrazim himself. The other Pasek of the Darshan. The Rambam quotes a different Pasek. When the Gemara says Onus, the Gemara quotes Pesa, and the Rambam quotes
right.
Pesa.
Right.
So on that pasuk, that's where you had to figure which not very useful, but from the pasuk the rabbi brings for onas tayyib, that's the pasuk you say on the mask.
You need to not look. If you're not qualified, you're saying that there's a
different part is just because it's garmi, it's not chayav al mehay according to Rashi, garmi, and you're not chayav garmi and behemoth.
It's like the difference between ish and shetitza and odma mazik. I think that there is a difference, which probably the Rambam might as well. Or what I said before, which is, so you may have a pu'ula, and if you have enough to be in the fact of you, doesn't mean that you
qualify as.
You didn't necessarily do a full maisa, and or there are certain levels of grama which are high, and you know, more distant than other levels of grama. I mean, there are many different ways to explain different gradations, even within the raisa, especially for most of them.
But if you're violating the Raisa, I'm violating unless you violate.
No, you could violate the Raisa, but you can violate the Raisa at different levels.
Uh-huh. Right. So you mean when the Gemara, when the Torah gives you, assume not for a lack of the Torah gives you Pesach's Paksa, you're applying for all Maisa, but it could be, you're applying for all Maisa, meaning also, that also includes all the subcategories of that Maisa.
Because you pass a certain threshold which makes you not Pantor.
Okay.
But you have necessarily. You know, accomplished as intensively, whether that adds an intensive element is what I'm calling the difference between a Ramah and Maisa, or
okay.
Or it's, you know, the gradations of active passive or
right.
Contributory factors. Something can be, even taking the categories you talked about in the chart, something can be inevitable, you know, but not immediately, which shows that that's more process oriented, but you still. There's definitely for onus. I'm saying it can be very. But there can be different levels, just as there can between different tchumim of halakha be different factors that will dictate, even how you define a halakha differently, like what role kavanah play in halakha or the maisa. So too within any particular category, especially if there are not gemina, it's reasonable. And especially if you have the koros, then it's reasonable to think that there are gradations.
And Lydia's are even if the, in other words, the different conclusion is that when the Torah gives you a certain nisr, there might be a paradigmatic way of violating the nisr, but then there are other sub-paradigmatic ways.
It could be.
And
it helps a lot if you have more than one pasuk and more than one makar, or if you know that there are.
Right. I mean, but so two things. The first is that it would still be startling if there's no major overlap between the paradigm and the subcategories, right? In other words, if it's the way that you relate to the Messias, and you're trying to mind, which will hopefully get the interesting answer to the problem, but that question of whatever that threshold, there has to be a threshold. And that threshold is going to be based on some relativity to the
right.
Paradigm. Right. That's, it could be, I mean, it'd be more than Sarah.
I mean, you can have the two Machaibim within a category and they can be distinct from each other. They don't want to be quantitative.
Yeah.
Sometimes they can be quantitative.
They're
a bit light.
Yeah. Okay. I want to flesh that out in a different way, but yeah, enough now.
Or maybe a better way to say it would be that the discrepancy between Rama and me, which is where certainly could, and it's reasonable that it might serve as a model or a paradigm, for what you need, even in Masipi and I, more intensely.
Okay.
I don't think it has to be. However, I don't think it's a reason.
I wouldn't build
that's
this say
right.
I wouldn't go that direction. I would say that if it had these characteristics, that would be enough to be close, at least parallel enough to the paradigm. But okay. Okay. So the first you said then that once we have a basic skeleton for what the Maisa, whatever that threshold is, and whatever the Makai, where that's coming from, we'll get to in a second, the Netter. But the question is, when you say that something is Grama or Grami, the question is, what exactly is lacking within a Maisa in order for that to say that this counts as Grama, this counts as Grami? And this is where I want to shift gears for a second to focus on the conceptual development of the Maisa that we're talking about. I think the way that I meant to print this out for everybody, I apologize. I think there are basically nine, we're going to analyze each one very, I'm just joking, but I think there's a progression of nine basic factors when we're talking about diluting the Maisa for a Nezika. The paradigm case is obviously that you interact directly with somebody's ma'ma. You interact directly, you punch their vase, or an extension of your hand would be that you take a knife and you cut their shoulder. That would be the same thing. And lehapich, which is the nekuda that Tesis works pretty much in every single sugya, is that if you work in reverse, that I take the hazardous item and I bring it to the chafta versus bringing the chafta and bringing it to the hazard. So the mashal makah behemah shamana sounds like you're makah behemah shamana. So it would be a chiddush to say lehapich that I bring the behemah to the makah. But on the contrary, we can go back and forth. Same thing for like when the Gemara discusses the retzeach. Shikas Re'eu Be'evin, which is the Rambam opens up with that case. So, in the family, that's the same idea. And I'm using them as paradigm cases for Nezikin or Tzikah, but I'm not suggesting yet that you can interconnect them, but as a case, as a paradigm. The second one is going to be if you physically bring the hazard toward the Davar HaNizek. In other words, without physically engaging the two, you bring one to the other without you being the Mazik, but you engage a hazardous item. For example, the case of Kofik Masur Shachaber, which is you're taking the mammon and you're bending it towards the hazard, which, according to at least there's Ben Yeshua who understands within Rashi that that's a form of he's, at least the Rashi is pretty clear. He says Arei Biyadayim Yedir. It's he considers that to be a Maisa Biyadayim. Tosfos in Sanhedrin learns that Bataris Eish. Tosfos in Baba Kama learns that Bataris Eish. But in other words, that is a paradigm. And Lehevich, if you bring the hazard towards the moment, for example, that's the case of Tisha Klos and Nafash. So I bring the Nafash, I hold the Nafash with my hand, and bring it to somebody's hand. Or if you're Mamed Behemoth Skavero, Alkama Skavero, which is, and I mean that's a massive, massive fight, and we're showing what exactly that case is, if you be Kaibir Shasarad or not, but Kefi the Hagos Hagra, who understands, who's been assigned to the Rajbo, says you be Kaibir even Shasarad, because we consider that to be like your Machil of Yadayim. There are others who say that it's even Adamamazic, potentially, but that would be the second major category. The first major category is that you physically interact with the item. Second major category is that you're harnessing, you bring a hazard to the item itself, either the item to the hazard or the hazard to the item. The third would be koho, which is when you bring the hazard to the item, but not directly, by putting energy into something. That could be in one of two directions. I can either throw the Davar HaNizek towards the hazard, or I can throw the hazard towards the Davar HaNizek. So obviously the obvious cases for that Gemara in Sanhedrin, Zark Tzor Lamala B'Hokol Et Zdavin, case of Tzroros, assuming Mazik, not Mamon Mazik, and then obviously if you say the case of Yotze Gates, mean Tachas Abatash, if you learn like the Rambam, that's a function of Koko. That would be the third major category. The fourth major category would be if you bring the hazard towards the Davar HaNizik by putting energy into the hazard, and it's going to operate indirectly. In other words, let's say you have the case of Zarek Tzror B'Kosel, the case of the Gemara in Sanhedrin discussed. It's not necessarily the same thing as throwing a rock directly at a vase. Could be that we view it that way, but another case would be the case of Kol. Kol, it doesn't necessarily have to operate as Mamish Kol, but it's going to operate indirectly. The fifth major category would be if you bring the Davar HaNizik towards the hazard by putting energy into the Davar HaNizik. And that would be the case of Zarek Klim Rosh Hagad, where you take an item, you throw it off a roof, I put energy, or depending on if you learn, Bezer Shem discuss the Chiddush Haran, Rabbeinu David, Tosfos, if you do that as harnessing an external force, but the point is that you're putting energy into something. You can assume that for now, certainly, I think the way the Rosh learns it, maybe, is Zarek Klim Rosh Hagad. The sixth category, just to further dilute, is if you harness an external force in order to bring the hazard towards the Davar HaNizik. So obviously that's where the potential overlap with Eish is, but the classic case which then is Rax and Bei Bar Meriam that the Gemara in Bava Kappa Basra discusses is that if you are throwing without the Ramban for now, but if you're doing Nibbutz, the Shmutz from the kernels are flying out into the wind as a result of you harnessing the wind, whether you mean to or not, but you're harnessing the wind in order to bring the Davar HaMazik towards the Davar HaNizik. That is Geitz HaYotz Mitat HaZapatish. If you don't learn like the Rambam necessarily, that would be similar to the Ramban. Okay. Then the Kain that is the question of harnessing gravity, which I don't want to go through all these parts, but I do want to flesh out the conceptual layout of the Sugya, which is part of harnessing the force. There is a big question in the Rishonim if you view harnessing gravity as harnessing an external force or not. The COVID of the item. So when you have the case of Avnoskina Matzel, Shanicha Barosh Agag, and it's Nafl Baruch Mitzuya Behiziko. So that's a big question. Rabbeinu David has a big fetish. Do you say that we view that as an external force, or do you view that as Kochal? And Kain, this is also when you use a Shliach in order to carry out a certain hazard. So if you use a Shliach, even though it is Talib Asacher, it is slightly different, but it's the same idea of if you're Sholech Be'er, Be'yad Fe'er Sholech Be'katan, it's Kain that. Or if you're the Rambam's case, if you hire a mafia man, if you hire a hitman, also Kain that. The last three categories would be if number one, if you enable an interaction between eliminating a barrier between the mammon and the hazard. So that obviously is the case of Masal Karim and Koritz Geder. There you're moving the barrier to allow the mammon to approach the hazard, but the opposite case is where you move the barrier in order to allow the hazard to approach the mammon, and that's a question, that is a big question, if there should be interconnection between those two. So the case of Bitka Demayo, or the case of Masalik Tris, those cases, the removal of the barrier in order to allow the hazard to attack the mammon. And the final two, if you facilitate an interaction by preventing escape from an already present hazard, assuming like Rashi, I think the Pashas of the Rishonim. So that's classically the Sugya of Mitzamtzim, which I hope to get to. That's where a lot of ink is spilled anyway. So when you restrain the Davar HaNizik, and assuming that you have to do that physically, that is a discussion. People are Madaik in the Meiri, Rashi maybe also, that the restraining, the Mitzamtzim that you have to do is with Kiri Yadayim. It could be that it's different if a person is Kofes Kavero versus if he is physically restrains him, exposing him to a Davar HaMazik. So that would be the question of Tzamtzum L'Chiyusa. That would be the case of Kavash Lava Sofa Maim and Eni Yochel La'alos Misham, Kafso Mes Bechama, all those cases. And the final category would be if you facilitate an interaction by preventing an escape from an approaching hazard. In other words, it's not there already. And that's classically the case of Sofa Ma'alot, or Kafso Mes Barav. So that would be the ninth major category. And so within each of these categories, it would be nice to go through every single one. We're not going to do that. I would like to focus on one or two of them, just to illustrate what you said. But the point is that within each of these, there's a level of interaction. That level of interaction is going to depend, and that might inform or that might qualify something as a case of Garmi, as a case of Grama. We know the Rif famously, the way that many understand Rashi, the way that the Ramban understands Rashi, the way that the Shach understands Rashi, that Rashi said Grama Garmi is all the same thing. And once you do that, it makes all these cases so much easier. Because all I need is my maximum threshold of mazik yadayim in halacha, whatever that is, and then I don't have to worry about all the other sub-mazik and sub-categories. If you learn, though, like others, the Rush, the Ramban, that doesn't necessarily work that way, so then you have to figure out what exactly is chaser within each of these pulos. Okay. So let me just speak for a minute, just in terms of what the mechanism means. So I referenced before, and maybe also, that one of the critical questions is going to be, is that if you hold that there is a machlokas, a dandin nagami, a low dandin nagami, the question could boil down to, what exactly is the mechayim over here? Now, one of the lines, in other words, we know, as was discussed at length in the beginning of the year, Rosenzweig definitely mentioned it, is that if you view Isra Mazik, if you view Mazik, the mechayim for Mazik, as that you did a ma'isa, and that this ma'isa, your actions, you're responsible for in halacha, and Mela, if you say that you view it as a quid pro quo, or if you view it as an Isra Mazik, in Isra Mazik, you violated you did something egregious. And that could inform also this machlokas. And certainly, Ramesha, he has a beautiful piece in Dibros Moshe. He doesn't need my endorsement, but he has an incredible piece in Dibros Moshe where he tries to figure this out exactly. What the overlap should be between what you hold as a machayev for mazik in general and how that's going to inform your shitas of dandi nagami or lo dandi nagami. But at the very outset, at least, there are some stark lashonis in the Rush, in the Ramban, in terms of what the mechayev is going to be when you have enough of these factors. The Rush's line. The Rush says, when he discusses the factors that are necessary for garmi, he says, when you are actively, physically interacting, and it's bari hazeka, who are nikudina dargami. And he gives you examples of this, and he says, sar shtar or mochel ba'atmo mazik mam kavero, mardina l'shulchani, all those cases, v'chein da achvi achvuyei, ve'en l'cha maisa gadol mizeh. And what he says is it's ka'osa maisa v'shal kavero, or he has his lashonos, same thing, where he basically tries to characterize it as a maisa of sorts. What the threshold device is, I don't, whatever he said, he's assuming that that's mamsh the paradigm, or that's even within that. It's still even within the Rush, okay. And that's basically what the Rush tries to do, is he tries to show you how in each of these, all the cases that qualify as Garmi cases, he's going to have to show you that once they tell you that the threshold from the Machayah is going to be that it's like a Maisa, I have to show you how, even though it seems like you're very far removed, you're dying, who's passing on a case, somehow that's considered like a ma'isa. Tysus also came that. Tysus, in the long Tysus on Kuf, discusses how it's possible that Mefagio is a ma'isa, or Dan is a din, is a ma'isa. That Tysus has this big chiddush that Dibor is kema'isa mamish, and it's like you're attacking the Mamon Tavero with your Dibor. The Ramban came that also. The Ramban contributing to Gami. The Ramban has a line where he, after he discusses the various factors, so one of the things that he says, give me one second, I apologize. He says, the way that he sets it up as a parallel is that whatever the Chacham would consider as a Maisa B'Yadayim, that for Rav Meir is something that Rav Meir would hold as a Grama that he would hold is that you're liable for. But he drives it home further than that. It's not just that he sets it up as a parallel, that Rameyer seems to have like this viewpoint that Grama is Ma'isa Mamish. He says, Uba Grama, he says, V'kol ha'potu v'ma'isa mamish, v'rabanan, k'gon hezek shen ha'nikr, patu l'Rameyer v'grama, u'a din v'ma'isa mamish. Shelo chi Rameyer el ala gorn hezek, v'in ha'n hezek ma'ab shen ha'nikr. And he goes on and he says, Uba Grama nami chayv l'div Rameyer, sh'ad gorn ka'osa ma'isa dami. Obviously he's not saying it is osa ma'isa dami, it's ke osa ma'isa dami, but again, it's very strong language to try to convert this. At least for it to be Machayev, it's coming from the Ma'isa. There is a question, one of the things that Ramesh does consider, is the idea that if you say that the mechayev for mazik in general is that it's the isser shabbat, it's the isser mazik, so the question is going to be whether that plays a role over here or not. One of the interesting places that he points to is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the sugya of Metzamtzim, has an interesting. I'm not giving it that because I was mechaven to a diak that Ramesh made, and so I have a special nagias here. So even if you tell me that I'm wrong, I'm not gonna like. It's gonna be very hard for me to recoil. So there obviously the sugya discusses the sugya of Metzamtzim. So Shmuel brings him a card for Metzamtzim. From a tantrum, classical matantum in the context of Ritzicha. And he says, so Kavash Minalan, Amar Shmuel Damakra, Obe Eva, Larabas is matantum. So the Gemara has a question, what about if you're matantum an animal in the sun? So assuming that the hazard is already present, you've compelled the animal to be exposed, restrained within that context, exposed to the hazard. So to Machlokas Amaran, do you say that you're chayv or not? So Ravina Machayv, Rabacha Barav, Potar. So the question is why? So Ravina's Machayv because of the Svara. He says that there's a kal v'chomer. Maru tzech lo asa b'shogi kemezid bonus karatzon chiyavo esam tzamtzim. So nizakin sh'asa ben shogi kemezid bonus karatzon inadin sh'chiyav behen esam tzamtzim. So what Rabin is saying, his svara is that, well, if the b'pashas, the way that you read the word the first time, is that if Ratzeach, the rules of Ratzeach are more kal than they are by nizikin, so then if tzamtzim is a mechayev for Ratzicha, then tzamtzim is a mechayev for Nezika. The question is, though, is that really what the words are saying? The words are saying, presumably, that if Ritzicha, which is laws of Bashoki Kamezid, bonus Karasa, which would basically mean that Ritzicha is more Kavana oriented. In other words, we don't care so much about the Pu'ula. The Pu'ula is important, and the Mice is important.
Or that the Kavana contributes more to the definition of the Mice.
Right. But I'm asking to that part. I even said something came there. But that much I'm asking. The other part it's still okay. But the point is that over there, if I'm telling that kavana is a dominant component and maybe informs more heavily than other components of the Maisa, so then the question is, how does that have any impact on Ezekiel? In other words, if I tell you that in the world of Ritzicha, where it's Shlosh Hashem Mezid and Onus Karatzon, and you're Chayiv from a Tzamtzim, so then by Nezikin, you also should be Chayiv from a Tzamtzim. Because in Nezikin, it's Asub Shoki Kemezid, Onus Karatzon, which would basically, so the question is, why? What's the lovedness for that Svara? The way Lefumriya thought you would have read it, that it just means that the world of Ritzicha is more Mekel than the world of Nezikin, but that's not true. We know that that's not true. It could be that there's a certain threshold that you have to reach, that you have to do maybe a more egregious act in order for that to count as Ritzicha. So one of the things Ramesh suggests, Mitchila, is that Ken Zayin, that if you learn that the Mechayev, there's a question, obviously the Rush is the one who says that Metzamtzim functions as a kind of garmi. The Me'iri also has a line like that, where he thinks that the whole sugya over here is not really for the sheet of Lodan Din Nargami, the whole sugya of Metzamtzim is if you have Lodan Din Nargami. But Ramesh has a tzad where he says that if you hold that the lumnus, the Israel, the Mazik, the Machai for Mazik, is the Israel Shabbai, so then I would expect that it's more about the Kavanah. And therefore, if I see that in the world of Ritzicha, where the standards for Kavanah are so much higher, and still Mitzamsim applies, so then Huadin, you would say the same thing with Kolshkin, you would say the same thing for the Sugya of Nezik. That's one of his Nikudas. So where are we going with this? So Lina, just give me a minute, and I'll never bring it together. You know, that role of Kavanah, and also there is a, obviously there's a big fight with the Rambam, if the Rambam holds, we'll get to it, if the Rambam holds, the Gram and Garmi are all the same thing or not. And even though his language sounds like that, there is a big fight in the Rishonim and Acharonim, if the Rambam holds that it isn't, you do with the Gra that people that everyone quotes that the major distinction, even I think Rav Sabati quoted yesterday at the Suda, that the major distinction between Gram and Garmi is in the role of Kavan, which in other words, the Pula is the less diamond factor, the more diamond factor is the Kavan part, which could also have implications for when it comes to what Mekhaib is, Mitzad the Isser Shabbai or Mitzad the Pula Shabbai. Okay. With the quid pro quo, Shabbat. So in terms of the interface between Zikin, between Ritzicha, so Kidua, we have this Gemara in Sanhedrin. There is a Chidush Eran that everyone quotes, and Tosfos also. Obviously, Tosfos doesn't say the same thing at all. Tosfos in Daf Ayin Zayin suggests that he thinks that when you say that Kishu Mishim Chitza, that applies equally between Ritzicha and Nezikin, which that itself is telling. Again, going back to the question we had before, is that just because one mechanism for Maisa applies by Nezikin, that applies for Ritzicha. But it is interesting, towards the end of Tosfos, Tosfos assumes for Devar Pashit that the concept of Kishu Mishim Chitza applies by Shechita. Why do they think it applies to Shechita? Because they say, like, why should this be any different than Ritzicha? Which is almost like they're driving home the Yisai that they're not willing to take Isha Mishum Chitza to the rest of Shatz. In other words, Shechita is a Maisa of Kill. And it might make sense that this mechanism of Isha Mishum Chitza applies by Shechita. It's not Mukhrach in Tosfos that they would take it. As, wow, where was the...
What
the
would
you say?
I thought that was right. I
don't know. In other words, Enochim, they assume...
What do you think of threshold of Ritzicha?
The threshold? So it could be that the threshold...
It doesn't sound like it thinks that once it passes Ritzicha, then it applies.
So
take it literally?
So I'm getting there. Just give me one second. I understand the implications of the point. I'm pointing out the tension here. In other words, Tosfos gives a... It's almost like they have to defend themselves to apply it to Shechita.
For a second.
Right. In other words, there is a fleeting happening.
After within, having said Rotea.
Right.
They then raise Shechita.
They're like, oh, well, maybe this doesn't apply.
Well,
it might not apply to Shechita. So I'm not saying that that's what they go with, Lamaskan. But I am saying that it is in the back of their mind. It seems to be in the back of their minds that it's not such a Devar Pashut to take Isha Mishum Chitza to the rest of Shatz. And I think also, when you there's a Chaim, everyone quotes the Chaim on that Tosfos, everyone quotes from the Rambam, there is a line where Tosfos has this kasha. Tosfos's kasha is Umiyum comes with the theme of the Avi Vavach Shusof Kana Lava Shusof Tina Lava near the Chaim Laman Damish Yishum Shum Chitza. The Lamanis and Amiyum Chaim Yishum Shum Chitza. And they go on to discuss all these different cases that Tosfos thinks should qualify as Isha Mishum Chitza cases, and wonders why you're not five in all these cases, and they say, well, basically, that's at least given the first mahalach, that's all Isha Mishum Amono. But if you hold Isha Mishum Chitza, then an economy you'd be chayav, or it would be relevant in all those cases for Ritzicha. At the very end of Tosfos, or not the good, then, but one of the things towards the middle end of Tosfos, one of the things that they suggest is, so what about Naflasakin? Why is it that Naflasakin is not Isha Mishum Chitza? And there too, the Baal HaTosfos says that, well, if you hold a Naflasakin is not a good Shechita, that's clearly because you only hold a Isha Mishum Amono. It's not because you hold Isha Mishum Chitza. But Rabbi says, okay. So in other words, they find. Okay. So Rav Chaim tries to answer this question. Rav Chaim's line, the way that he tries to answer this is Kasha, says, V'nir lomar de ve'emes, after meaning the Isha Mishum Chitza, avol zeh harei lo chidish lan rak. It's as though you did a ma'isa. It's like you shot an arrow. Just because I say that it's a mechanism to consider your ma'isa malacha doesn't mean that the Torah now registers. I mean, this is hints of what Rebbe was alluding to. That doesn't mean that the Torah says that on the books this is that you energized an act, because you didn't energize an act. We consider maybe on the legal books that you'd be chayiv as though it was your energy that you put into the system, but it's not.
That's not energy. That's not kochah. That's ma'isa.
That's the point.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
That's exactly.
But
the point.
You said it's legally as though it's your energy. You don't need energy.
He's saying that it's kin kochah, meaning if we treat it like kochah, why do we treat it like kochah? Meaning, what does that mean?
Okay.
So I don't know how else to say. And obviously, it's not your energy. You definitely didn't put energy into the system. On the books, maybe we registered the idea that they're not coming as an halacha that we're willing to consider kochel, but it's not kochel. It's a mechanism that's unique to, and he assumes that certainly within Tosfos' school of thought that nezikin and ritzicha is all the same thing, and so therefore lechem gam echiyuv imamon unefashas the minan rashi yatsu who has a ma'isa. All you have to do there is the ma'isa. Avokochel lo be'inan klal, in order to be chayiv for those areas of halacha, you don't need your energy to be energizing the system. And therefore, that's why you would say the concept of Yishum Shum Kitov is unique to Nazikin. That's where the Rav Chaim explains it. Obviously, the Chiddush Iran takes almost the opposite approach. The Chiddush Iran, he addresses similar issues.
He draws a line.
Yeah. Okay, I should have been more precise. So the Ran's line here is, So one of the points that he quotes from Rabbeinu David, that he quotes from the Baal Tosfos, is this point that Tirtu Bazaar, Dan Kiv Nezikin Elif Akoch of a Poel, Lobamash Nasa. The Ruach Mitzuya Poelas, he responds to Kiidu Hayah, the Koch Adam, Aydesha Hayamatsuan. Abu Hayarita Lamata, Inba Poel shall cloud. Elisha Makas Kveda, he eradis, but after Marg of Yuridaso, Lanas is Abu Poel, El Kovada Evan, who she is Melech. This is going back to the question of if you drop a rock. If you throw up a rock and it falls straight down, should you retire? Is that a function of kofo on that? One of the things that he says is that's not considered kofo. Okay. But one of the things that he says here is as follows. Wait a second, sorry.
That
he doesn't like it at all. No. Here it is. So, and one of the reasons that, all right, well, okay. Lefichach ani omer, she'en ledamos nizkei mamon lerotzeach le'inin chiyuv misa, mishum derotzeach akorach managabeh. Which is what seems to be the Lefum Riyat of the Gemara, the Pashas of the Gemara. That's just the world of Ratzich is more kind. The Kivin Shekane, the Inan Shiyatzit, Poel Mamish, who Bari Hezeka, Kodim Shiyatzit Misa. Kehit Beman, the Kaps of the Kharbe, the Ishkal Levit Kedemaya, but the Bekoch Rishon Chai, the Bekoch Sheni Pater, Mishon Delo Avagire, El Bekoch Rishon, Avokoch Sheni, then you're going to be Pater. And what he says is that why is it that for Ratzicha, we said that the standards are so high. Masha'inkin, if you do the same bit for the Maya trick for a Nezikin, you would be chayiv, even if it's called Sheni, he says. And the riot that he says for that is when you're Zorah Kli Mirosh Agav. So if you weep Paskin against Rabbah, and therefore you're going to be chayiv for your Kidim Sile, that's the same idea. It's the idea that I'm eliminating the barrier, and that comes even Mikol Sheni, if you call it that, and you're still going to be chayiv. So why is that? So what they seem to be getting at is that if you learn what the Ran is fleshing out, or what the Chiddush Ran is fleshing out, whoever I think represents what's the Ra'ah.
No,
the
one the chop is
so with the Chiddush Ran, what am I forgetting? The Chiddush Ran, that's also one?
That's a Ran.
But it's a common Ra'ah, have they already said once?
The one Chiddush Ran and chop is.
Okay. So the point is that then the way that it emerges is that according to the Ran, Gulf of the reason that Ritzicha and Nezikin are different is that Kentan, it fit very nicely, if you said that for Ritzicha, it's Kentan, the Isser Shabbat, that it's such a repulsive, egregious act that it has to be your energy that you're infusing in order to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. Mashengin for Nezikin, it's not necessarily Mitam the Isser Shabbat, or even if you wanted to say the Isser is a lower threshold, you could say it that way also. But the point is that for Nezikin, you don't need it to be energized, and you don't have to be energizing the system to be energizing to accomplish the Maisa Hesed.
Are you saying the other side is a point, or more that Nezik is, as long as it's a very rigorous consequence, in Rama, a rigorous Rama is also high, or very,
what was the point?
I say, are you emphasizing the Isser Shabbat being the Chayyot? That's the difference? Or are you saying that just, you know, that it's Mazik, you don't necessarily mean what I'm calling out Pula or Isser or both? Or maybe it's not Papa Pula, I don't know. Because the Gram Adotza is a factor, either defining the Maisa or separately, you know, as long as there's also something from Basay, and then Rotzeya, you need a Maisa or Tzeya.
So I'm saying that you.
Wait, so now it's sort of like you're entitled to this role of mind speaking about.
I would want to think about it.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying why.
Because
I could make the case
yeah.
on the relationship to Easter, I could argue the opposite of it.
mean that just the threshold is low for the violent deism. Yeah, I'm entertaining both possibilities. I think
your bigger question seems to be like discerning different levels of mindset around the world. So if you want to make the point, then that might give the Easter question, etc. I think that's fine. But I wouldn't. Why would you want to tie yourself to the consequence of that when you're trying to make this?
So I think they're both are possibilities. I think that what emerges is that the way that the Reb Chaim answers Tosfos's kasha, and answers it by diluting koach and saying that koach is fake koach. It just has to be, we consider it through like a ma'isa, but you don't actually need koach. We consider it through like koach in Hilchos Rishikos and Nezikin.
This is maybe his conclusion that as long as you have a ma'isa, you should be
Okay,
it's only explained that line. The end. You read the line when he was trying to explain the Shkita Shah before he comes to his own conclusion.
When he's trying to address his kasha,
right.
And he says
the distinction between mice and koach.
Right. And what he's saying is, why is it that in certain areas of Malacha you need
koach?
Right.
Shkita. At that point, that's what he says.
Right.
The further he doesn't ever retract the difference between the koach and maisa. He doesn't say, they're the same thing. What he's saying is, I think the evidence points that if you have maisa, that's good enough for both of these. Therefore, that's not the answer here. Therefore, you need something else. Then you get to your Torah business, and that's something else.
Right.
But he does, phenomenologically, he does still think there's a difference
between years of love that actually require
koach. It does not have to be shkita and ritzi.
Correct. What I think you do see, though, is that, in other words, I could make the case that you need mamish koach in the world of ritzipa, and you need fake koach, or whatever it is, in the world of nezipa, which is basically that the ram is my koach. The Rechaim's havana is that for nezipa and ritzipa, you don't need that. You can have fake koach, because all you need is the ma'isa.
Right.
So the question would be, why is it that...
But at least it's a ma'isa. Other people might think it's not even a ma'isa.
What do you mean by that?
Other people might say that Isha Trukitza doesn't really even a ma'isa. It's just a,
Nisa
back to Noah. It's just more than Mamono, and it's not, but it's kind of the parent of Tzavah. Even more
for its Tzavah.
Even for Mazik. And if you want, by extension, to say, let's say, Abu Dhabi Nazar, you mentioned that Abu Dhabi Nazar,
also.
At one point, because of the way he wants to interpret it, Ryan Sama, Ravashi, he takes that literally, rubber doesn't work in Zika. So he says, why does it work in, why does this work in Mazik? Pizza.
Right.
Said at one point the opposite, meaning that Rotzeach is about causing the guy's death. You don't really care about the Isa. The total opposite, parallel opposite of the Ra.
The question is, what would be the head for it? Why it is that one would be compelled to accentuate Kalah in the context of the Sifa, and one would be find it perfectly acceptable to dilute Kalah in the Sifa. And then, in fact, there's two, I think that there are two tracks. One would be it can still both be Maisa, quid pro quo, or anything. But can Zion, that if I require a specific kind of egregious act, a hands-on cold murder act, that's because the Isser Shabbos is what we accentuate.
You don't think that the Isser Shabbos would be not, if the Isser Shabbos is driving it, that would be less likely to apply when you're Vadai Goring, the Tutsah, of Misa, even though you did.
So Rebbe said you can make the case both ways. I hear that very
fast. Isn't part of it, that's what always drew me also, the same Chudush Aran and Ravanish against Bein Ba'on as Bein Baratzon, what's including that part of it also. That's part of the Cheshbet.
Yeah.
That's probably, isn't that diluting my Savera also?
Or it doesn't have to, it could also be that you're a differently.
Even my Savera? Yeah, Vera? That's what I found. I don't
know what you mean, Beba Odia.
You're saying
that they require, especially in Ramban.
In other words, it's much more quid pro quo. One is the Ran.
No, or maybe
it's
the
same. That's one of your, that's one of the both the Kedusha and Ramban.
I hear.
I don't know what, I have a hard time Bechlau understanding Ramban. I don't know what's
that. They require, right, but they just feel that the point is about, you know, it's about Shuras Atzmo.
Right, but even, so Ramban can't be that either, though. He's Mechayev on his Gomer. I don't know
where it's right. Remember that the line in the Gemara about, you know, onus and so on, is not because the case is onus in Shomer. It's a way of characterizing the Mechayim more broadly, which then has spillover impact in terms of Brahma. That's the second stage.
But is
so you
Ramban,
still might be able to say.
But he's still, that's the way the Ramban, that is what the Ramban thinks. I'm assuming that Kedusha Ramban holds like the Ramban. I don't know. I think he does. Like Kedusha Ramban and Bava Tzvi. I mean, in terms of on his gomar. So once he thinks that that's what it means.
Right. That only means, all I'm saying is that only means that the maestro is correct. Let's say, according to Rabban.
Is it the maestro, isn't, or is it just simply the fact that Hezek was done almost, that it's not, not even, in these cases.
I think that's why, according to Rabban, you get the reference of professional.
But it's even using that Kakashi. Rabban here, he is using that Kakashi. The Chlish Iran is using that as a raya.
For Mazda.
For Mazda.
Yeah. So I would say, because it's not, it's causing, this Misa is about causing the result. That's also the reason why there's no Ptur Onus in this Misa, because the Ptur Onus is related to the Onus command law. Let's forget about the Abaye
Gemara. To
answer your question, meaning, had it been that there was a formal Maisa necessary in Mazik as there is in Motseach, then there couldn't have been a Ptur Onus, then there wouldn't have been a Chiyuv Onus, because Onus is also command of the law.
Right.
So what you see is that in Mazik, it's about, not about the Avera, but Mazik, it's about causing the Totah. So that's consistent with Koach and all those things. Masha'en came Rotseach. I'm taking out the whole.
You don't need the Avera, but it's.
I don't need the Avera at all.
But it certainly, it can't be based on the Avera.
I was saying before, that based on the Avera, I'm not sure whether that would have been a reason to have a tighter Hagdara, which is a Koach and Koach anyway. That would be a reason to have a tighter Hagdara in terms of Onus and Shomer. What I was saying before, not necessarily.
Just the way they're using it, that's what I'm saying. Being they're using that part in this context.
So what I'm saying in the Gemara and in Kiddush Aran, all you need to say is that they're using the Gemara to show you that there's no formal Maisa being Mechayim. Not because the Isser is, but because the Tzar is. So then you don't really care. At the end of the day, the question isn't did you do it? The question is are you exclusively responsible for it? The answer is yes. That's right. Whereas in Tzicha, you have to do it.
Basically, the lines of Rabbi Nezer, and I think Rabbi has mentioned this in Shul before. You could have said that if you're focusing on the Isser of Ritzicha, that Ritzicha is good for one of these in the Torah that's most about the Totsah and not actually about the Maisa. You could explain why Shogit were more sensitive to Kalos, not just to give Khatas or anything in the nature. It also explains why there's the Rambam has to be so. In the context of saying that if you hire somebody to kill somebody, you're not actually Chayiv. We don't say Shem of Varavera, but Shem is Raya for Shem of Varavera. It's from Ritzicha, from Dabra Melach, whatever. He still say, oh, but by the way, it's still terrible in your Ma'abi Nefesh Yisrael and Yisrael Skoadim. So we can talk about how horrific it is, even though you didn't actually do the Maisa. So you could have said that Ritzicha is one of these Surim that's not about the Maisa, it's about that Totsah of even losing Nefesh Yisrael and how terrible it is.
Right.
And that makes it more sensitive. So maybe Gufa mean the opposite of the direction that we're
saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
He's actually trying to explain that, you know, why you'd be chayiv in rotzeach, but you'd be potter in shabbos.
Right, right, right.
That's his goal.
Right.
Versus the show.
I want to segue for this. I'll try to make it very brief. I know that I've been a little bit. Beyond that, I don't know how many extra innings we're allowed to.
if the game hasn't been decided, but someone's not here. So. I would say you just keep going. Sometimes they have like suspended game.
Oh, interesting.
Baseball's the one sport with no fun.
What?
Yeah, baseball's the one sport.
Well,
with
that's,
no
that
fun.
Was
well,
the.
No fun.
This room was definitely the inspiration for that.
And, you know, it's like. But I even, with my Canadian, sudden death.
Okay, the last is.
You know, before they created all these other
I don't follow.
Purists in the game, right?
Okay. It's hard not to discuss the Rambam, at least for a few minutes. And then I'll...
Why would you even hard not to? Why so far?
I mean, given how dumb that we're beyond time.
You started out to...
Like the whole orientation is becoming more Hasidic than we know.
First of all, it's time to get second year. You're
so okay. Kiyadua, there is a the Rambam. Okay, let's start with this. What?
Yeah.
Rambam is very complicated. I'm asking. So the Kiyadua, Rabbi has a case. The case of Zarek Tzror. Of Zarek Kli, excuse me. And in this case, there are different mahakam how to deal with that case. The case, let's say, above, where Rabbi says, Zarek Kli Mirosh Agag, Vahakar Shvar, Vahakar Pater, my time is not a fear of Tachar. Vahakar Rabba, Zarek Kli Mirosh Agag, Vahakar Karm Ksatsos, Vahakar Vesilkan, Vahakar Vesilkan, Pater. My time is Bidna Dishadi, Psuki Mifsuki. The passage of the Gemara is that when you have Reuben who throws a Kli off the roof, there are pillows and blankets beneath it. So the mice that he did is not a mice of Hezek. It's suki masaki gif. Just like if someone is shooting a pistol at the wall, that's not a mice ritzicha. If someone runs in front of the pistol after they shot it already, that's still not a mice ritzicha. The mice that they did, their input, their contribution to the system is not a mice ritzicha. Rashi, the way the Rashi understands this case, Kidua, Rashi understands that the person who's throwing here in the first case is the Baal Kli, and then the case of Zarek Maz, Rashi says, Zarek Maz, Kilim Nerosh, Hagag, Vahayu, Tachta, Karim, Satsus, Patr, Sharim, Isri, Kasa, Insof, Lishavar, Ashi, Natalu, Hakarim, Isashi, Natalu, Hakarim, Vafilu, Hazarek, Atzma, Natalon, is Patr, the Gromim, Zarek, and Atzma. So the question that all the Rishonim are trying to figure out is who exactly is Patr in this case. The Pashas is that the person with the focus, the main player here, is going to be the Masalik. The Zarek Kli is a double Pashat that is Patr. And then the question is just whether the Masalik is considered to have done enough of a Maisa or not, which we saw before, according to some, is maybe even equated with Koch Sheni. So, Kiyudua, on the spot, the Balatosis quote, the Rif and the Ri. And the Rif basically says, this is Rav Lashitase, Rav is not into Garmi, and the Ri says, no, this is Garmi Nizake. So the Rambam, when he discusses this halacha, the question is, does the Rambam hold of Garmi and Grama? Does he hold that they're one thing, or that they're two different things? There's the Sma, the Shach, that understand there's a big fight there, Shushan versus the Sma. Do you consider this, does the Rambam actually hold the Garmi and Grama at the same thing or not? The Rambam gives you the impression, as you read the Halachas, obviously, in Parak Zayin, that Grama Garmi is all the same thing. Almost, he seems to give you that impression. He goes through the cases of Grama, he goes through Kol HaGarm LaHazek Mom Tavero, Chayim L'Shalom Nezek Shalom in the Yafesh and L'Chasev, tries very hard to call it, that this is like a Yavin Nezikin, Kishar HaMazikin. And he goes on and gives you a number of cases. His cases are Zarek Kli Shal Kaveir Marosh Agag, If you're Sarv Shtaroso Shal Chavero, which is a classic case of Garmi, he goes into the case of Ha'osa Abda Chotiki, Hazar Klin Rosh Gagla Arts, Loya Dachel Kalim, Shresha Omigla. He goes into all these different cases. So the question is, when the Rambam presents Rabbi Shkakul Torah, the way that the Rambam presents it is as follows. The Rambam says, Kol Garmi Hazik Mom Chavero Chai Vashan Nezik Shalom and Yafshim Lepasa, Kishar Mazikin, Afu Kishenu Hu Amazik Zan Nezik Atzmo Vahor, Hu Agarmi Rishon Chai, Ketzer. I don't know if everybody discussed the Ketza in Mishra. I don't remember if everybody discussed it. Because the Ketza doesn't seem to illustrate that. Paragraph. As Zorah Klee Shalom and Rosh Agag, I'll grab your car on Tzav. So it's a Baal Akir, but God of a sea lake, as a car in Allah Arts, but not quite a Kliba Arts in Nishbar, Chayiv as a Chum, Ki Vishvar Biyara. She sea lake, a car, but Tzav, a Garm Loshi Yishavir. Then Kol Kiyot is there. Rambam goes on and says, Azor Kli shall kaveh am Rosh Agag, al gabi karm of Tzav, so shal baal kli, bekana baal kli behesar akarim, Azor Chayiv. Shes rikatsu hu agar marishon l'shvias akli. Then kalam akh besilk and shnei chayavin, hazarek tam salik, shnei and garmel abim amon shasa. The Rambam basically says is that if you have a person throwing off somebody else's kli from the roof and there are karmic substances down below, then we say that both people are going to be chai. If you have the balak kli throwing off the kli from the roof and there are karmic substances below, when the person is misalik, the person who's misalik is chai entirely. So there's two major questions in the sukkah. The question is, number one, what happened to Rabbah? That we thought it was a separate question that the person who's the Zorik is not considered to be, is not chayv at all, because there are karmic substances down below. That's question one. So why would the Rambam hold that the Zorik is the person who's chayv? And question number two is that if you do hold that the Zorik is chayv, in the way that the Bach asked the question, a lot of people ask the question, the Bach says explicitly, came to tour, that how is it that when the Rambam holds that the Zorik is responsible because he's considered a contributor to the Hezek, he's considered a Gorim. If that's the case, like any other case where you have multiple contributors, so if one of the contributors is Pater, that doesn't mean that the other person is 100% Chayav. So the question is, how could it be that if the Zorik is the Balakli, why is it that the alternative contributor would be Chayav, the other contributor, the Misalik, is going to be 100% Chayav. The other person, the Misalik, should be chayv to pay 50%. That's the question. There are a lot of different terutz that are given. I don't have a perfect mahalak on this, but what I thought was, obviously a big question is going to be whether the Rambam buys into the whole system of garmi equal to grama or not, if he thinks that grama is zaken is pater, what the mechayv for garmi or grama is going to be. I thought that there was a nice mahalak based on a Beis Halevi that I saw a few months ago on Parshas Vayetze. And when I first saw it, I thought, oh, so maybe that's just what he writes when he's feeble and ill and not in the sugya. And but about if you would look in the Beis Halevi proper, he wouldn't say such a yisai. Maybe that's just Rosh Hashanah Parsha. So Beis Halevi has a very nice yisai where he says that in the pasuk of Vayetze Yaakov Vayelech Harana, so the Beis Halevi, as a lot of people ask, what's the shift from Vayitze and Vayelech? And it develops famously that one was the Yitziah. There are two different commands that he got, one from Yitzchak and one from Rivka. One was to leave, to run away from Esav, and one was to go to Haran to get a wife. The second part that the Beis Halevi says is a beautiful idea. He's Masber the Gemara in Chagiga, where the Tzeduki discusses with one of the Tanaim, that your God has clearly turned his face away from you. So, but the Beis Halevi explains, based on the Gemara, that the Vav is as follows. And it's interesting because of what the Rush says on this sugya. The Rush, when he looks at this sugya, Zara Kli, he says that's considered Ma'abad Mam Ladas. The Beis Halevi has a different insight. The Beis Halevi says that by the fact that in this Gemara, what's the difference? Why is it that there's even a Shaila on the table? If you're Zerg Kli, Me'al Gabi, why is there a Shaila on the table? If it's Ma'abed Mamun Das, so then there's nothing to talk about. So the only reason that there's something to talk about, the only reason that there's actually a Chakira in the Gemara, is because you're actively trying to destroy your Kelim. So he says, and this goes back to a number of the Chavrus that Rebbe gave before, is that one of the, as we discussed best, as Yisrael discussed before, is that one of the manifestations of Bilus is the ability and the right to control your chetzah's destiny however you want. And Memela, what he understands is that when this Bilum is coming to throw their kli down to smash it, it's not theirs anymore. It's not the same thing as putting your kiss in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah and being mafkarit. Takar, you're trying to smash your kli. Because you're trying to smash your kli, that's still you're exerting your control as Balaam over the chavetza. So, and by the way, so Mamela, that's the same thing for Galus. The way the Beis Levi, I'll the Joshua by. So he says the same thing for Galus. That if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would just toss us out of Eretz Yisrael because we were bad and just turn his face on us, that would be being mafkar us. But because we're undergoing Yisurin, so that's the best indication that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just being mafkar us, that he's still exerting control as a Baal over us. So, believe it or not, the Beis Levi actually says this site, not just in his Joshua Ala Torah. He says this for real in the Beis Halevi. He says, you said like this for this sugya. Ka'in this yisayid, I think, is where the Griz and Rav Chaim are coming from when they discuss this sugya. One of the things that the number of the Rachamim asked is, why is it that we don't just say that you're mafkia, that you're mafkia bailus by the fact that you threw up? So why do I need mana tvir tavar? Even if the person is swinging the bat, I don't need mana tvir tavar. He's anyway going to be potter because you're mafkia. So the Griz explains, because it's not mafkia. Mafkia is not just that you're willing to suffer a loss monetarily. Mafkia means that you're willing, that the item is no longer shaykh to you. It's no longer, presumably, under control. And Kain, Rav Chaim, he has a different, so he quotes this Griz, but it's Kain, this is Zayin. So Mamela, it's not a perfect hesber for the Rambam, but Ken Zayin, that when the Rambam, this discrepancy between when the Baalim are throwing off a cleat on the roof, when they're throwing off a cleat on the roof, based alone, it's still their chetza. And therefore, because they're exerting control over it, as a Baalim, we don't call that a ma'isa hezek from their perspective. It's not that they're a mazik with a pator. They're a Baalim. That's part of how they're exerting control over the chetza. And the Mela, because they're a Baalim, the other person who moves away the karmic status, well, he's going to be chayiv entirely. It's 100%. Because the other person playing was not a mazik with a pator. Masha'in Kain, when you have another person who's throwing a kli off a roof, so this goes back to the other side, is that as the role of a bialis, by definition, when we talk about that you having the ability to control chetza as your role as bialim, same thing with nezikin. Nezikin is not just about somebody physically interacting with somebody else's item and leaving a mark on that item in a depreciated state. It's vital in that. Kain, like all the sugyas that we compared between gezela and nezikin, is that you're robbing somebody of their ability to control the destiny of a chetza. And Mamela, the way that the Rambam understands it, is that if you put somebody else's chetza in a precarious predicament by throwing it off a roof where neither you can control the chetza, nor the Baalim can control the chetza, and a chanami right now, when it's above karmic tzasos, it's not in a, it doesn't seem to be in a precarious position, but it's less in your control. And you're not able to control the chetza, and the Baalim are not able to control the chetza. And Mamela, even though if it would land on pillows, that would not be deemed a ma'isa hezek. But once it's in a scala that didn't land on pillows, that means that you did put it in a precarious position originally. What would?
Yeah, if the pillows were there, why is it out of bounds control?
It's floating because it's floating in air. When things are floating in air, you don't have control of them. Mamela, that is, even though it's not a bona fide ma'isa hezek, it's enough that the Rambam can say you're a goring. Now, I don't know that you're a goring to be chayiv for what you did until you actually contributed to a hezek that resulted. But because you put this into a precarious position, mamela, that's enough of a goring to be chayiv.
Thank you.
It's not the goring, but the destruction type. In the end, you're saying it's the afgas. It's almost like the gezel.
I wouldn't say. I'm not going to go as stark as that. I would sugarcoat what I'm saying a little bit and pad a little bit. But in other words, it obviously it has to lead towards a fully realized hezek in order for that to register in the law as go. But part of that is that
doesn't sound that I'm like part of the reason why you have is the pillows belong to the
I think so. First of all, there's two perspectives on that point. The Rambam says that, but one could be that even one question is a question of anticipation, right? But in other words, just because it's valid, therefore you don't have a reason to think that he would pull them away, right? But the point is that even if he, even if they belong to Balfin, you shouldn't be anticipating these in a bold way. That doesn't give you a right to put somebody else's chetzas into a precarious predicament.
But if the karmic chetzas belong to somebody else,
then it's the same thing, right? It's a chiddush that's the bottom. The chiddush that's the bottom is that you would think.
Oh, really?
I think that Mazel's one who says it, that therefore you don't have to anticipate it, and therefore Afaki Kain, right? Because the Rambam, that the only place that he highlights that is in that case. He doesn't tell you who owns the karmic chetzos in the other case.
You're saying the money is based on anything, but depending on who throws it, it's totally obvious. Either it's an expression of violence or a kind of gezel rapias.
You think him?
It's rough.
Okay. Guns are gone?
No, talk to me. There's a lot to say.
Yeah, one here. I mean, you didn't have a chance.
Okay.
So, guy, I'll think about the time.
They're not new. Shkaya.